Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How very deeply and happily am I grateful to be in your realm today. You have no idea. My gratitude extends way beyond this radio program. So whoever is listening out there, it is not by accident that you are there with me today. We're going to be talking about belief, pride, and insult, something that I think most people struggle with. It's a real issue when it comes down to the idea of the meaning of a person's life and how they comprehend their living. We'll talk about that in a minute. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as all the things we do on the Aspire website, as well as my hospice work and all of that, is supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts. Your donations make this possible. We are in our fall campaign to raise money to have people join us in our sponsorship program and making donations to sustain our radio program. Without your tax-deductible gifts, of course, we cannot continue. So I'm hoping that you will see how important Aspire is, that it maybe resonates a little bit within you and offers you some insight enough to where you would hopefully see the value of it and want it to continue. Yes, everything continues through money. You know, people have such a hang up about this, it just blows my mind. Yes, that's what it is. You pay bills, you pay radio time, you pay airtime, you pay the state, you pay the government. You have to pay all these people just to be here. So your tax deductible gifts not only help you, but help people you may never know, may never meet, and it may be something that is much more important than you might imagine. So take a look. Go to the website at aspire.org. You will see sponsorship or support in the middle of the page there. If you click on that, a drop menu will come down, and it will tell you all about Aspire, what you can do to help, what you get as free gifts for your donation each quarter or each month, whatever you choose to do, and how much that is going to help humankind, which is the more important point here, much more important. I see people running around protesting about Trump and the government and all this stuff, and it's easy to scream and yell and make Mary about how much you disapprove of the way things are going in this world. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty, when it's time to really do something about it, which is what lives inside of us, and all of this is occurring due to what's going on within us, and you're asked to change or do something dramatic within yourself other than hate, that's where people back off and they go, no, I'd rather grab my protest sign and run around and scream, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. This is absurd and it isn't going to change anything, not a single thing. The change we need is within ourselves. We have to acclimate to love, not to hate, and you can't let the world get to you. You can't let the circumstances and the conditions of the world demonstrate to you the meaning of your life. It must come from within yourself. The right actions to take in any given situation come from the heart, the spiritual heart, not the human heart, the heart. And if you don't make those changes, if you don't act from that, this just goes on and on and on, this craziness, this bias. Aspire is offering to you a way to see into your heart, into the way and the meaning of your life. That's what it's all about. I hope you will become a sponsor and help us. Forgive me. First question comes from Gay. I don't know where Gay lives. I believe in the right things like justice and fairness to all and all of that stuff, she says. Yet I find most people do not treat me as such. They treat me with a bias. What do you have to say about changing people's biases, Greg? A bias is a very interesting thing because it's a mindset. It is a psychology. It's a psychology unto itself. People come to conclusions about other people based on their own personal values and maybe some prior knowledge where they misinterpret an experience with another human being. They have basic religious beliefs that are not healthy at all. And they go out and they come up with the wrong conclusions. And they seek after hate to change anything in this world. When I seek to change anything in this world through hate, I have removed myself from the meaning of my existence, the meaning of my own life. Gay, there is no justice. If you look at the system we live in, which is predicated on the opinions of other people, whether it is in the court system or the legal system or the government system, it's all based and predicated on biases, beliefs as biases. None of these beliefs and biases are necessarily true. They don't have any justice to them. No one wins in this world. As Superman said in a movie recently, nothing good lasts long in this world. And he was right, or whoever was the author of that. Reason being, there's always someone there who can pick it apart and make it ugly. That's just the way we are, and that's the way of this world. If you believe in the right things, and I don't know what that is. What is the right thing? I have no idea at all what you're talking about. What is right? Who knows what's right in any given situation? Who knows? Who knows what's right? And what are we being right about, and what are we being right towards? What are we talking about here? Really, literally, what are we talking about? Fairness to all? That can't happen. I have karma. You have karma. That keeps the fairness from what you and I would call fairness from happening. I answer to karma, not to government, not to constitutions, not to governments. You and I answer, and we refuse to understand this, and we don't want to understand this because we don't want to go within ourselves because we know it's a quagmire in there of hate and fear. We've never really sorted out the way we are, our biases, our beliefs, our conclusions, our values. We've never gone in there and sorted out. We don't even want to do that. That might show us that we have a defect, that we might be, quote unquote, wrong about something. So we don't even go into that, Gay, to place my personal life, the way I live my life, the values of my life, in the hands of the rules of, shall we say, a government that says, no, you can't do this, and no, you, but I want to kill him. You can't do that. To do things like that is necessary in this world because our values are so whippy-whoppy. We never know what our values really are. They change at any moment, but one thing they're about, the root of them, is the belief that I should have everything I want, that I deserve to have everything I want. We're not here to achieve what we want. We're here to awaken to who we are, really, to what we are, not a who. And if you're not interested in that, Well, then you answer blindly to your own karma. I do mine, you do yours, everybody does. We place ourselves in very precarious situations because of the way we think, live, move, and act. And we think we can get away with it because we have some sort of conditional logic and reasoning that translates into the idea that we are right, we're doing the right thing. There is no right thing on this planet. The only right thing there is love. And when I don't know what else to do, when I'm done pointing fingers at people and saying, you did this and you did that and you caused this and you made that happen, when I'm done with that and I can see whatever I am experiencing in the outer is my within, that is when we become intelligent and beautiful again. We return to the bliss of love. So few are willing to do that. So very few. Hate never yet dispelled hate, the Buddha said. Only love dispels hate, Gay. You're on the wrong end of the stick if you're looking for a way to dispel hate through hate. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Will in Ohio, he tells me. Greg, I pride myself on belief. I pride myself in good belief. You sound like I should question all of my beliefs. Will. Yes, Will, you would be right. Without belief, most people crumble. There's no hope for their selfish desires. That's why they crumble. People use belief as a way to deal with what they want and what they're trying to get. They want life to be a no-brainer. They want life to be nothing but eat, drink, and be merry. Priding yourself on your beliefs, in good, as you put it, simply makes it impossible for you to see the bigger picture, the panorama of your life. How can you see the panorama of your life when you're stuck on what it is you think is good? Do you remember when they came to Jesus and said, good master, and he said, why calleth me good? There is none good but God. Do you remember that little story? Even he knew that it isn't about being good. There isn't any good here. Looking for good in the world is a foolish thing to do. The good that you're seeking lives within you. It is not formulated through belief, but through consciousness. If you come to a state of consciousness and you get her done through consciousness, you start to awaken to new energies that you did not know you had. Energies that are compassionate and kind. You know, there comes a time, Will, in all of our lives, mine, yours, everyone, where we have to come to terms with ourselves and our life. By this, I mean we have to sit down and see, what the heck have I done with my life? What the heck have I done to my life? And what have I based my life upon? Now, people like to window dress their thoughts and make themselves think as though they've been a pillar of the temple for all these years and that they've done nothing, wrong, quote unquote. That's always what people want to think. But when you get right down to it, it's just been a series of trying to get the things that comfort us, that make us happy, that give us what we want. And when you get down to that, you get down to basic selfishness and pride. So there you are. The meaning of your life, the meaning of your existence, It is based on the significance of your heart. No, not your emotional heart, not your passionate heart, which most people prize more than anything in this world. Your inner heart, your authentic heart. The heart of love, the heart of goodness, the heart of beauty in you. There is a goodness in you that exceeds the beliefs of your thoughts. There is a kindness within you that exceeds the emotionality that sustains you in personal hatred. And whenever you're trying to do quote-unquote self-improvement, when you're trying to improve yourself, trying to make you a quote-unquote better person, you're missing. You can't become a better person. You only have so many tools. It's like saying, I'll make the Taj Mahal out of dog food. Can't be done. You can make a replica, I suppose, out of it, but that would be it. You couldn't do it. The tools aren't there. The substance isn't there. But when you want to exceed the human, go beyond it. To have a direct experience that is greater than the ideas, ideals, beliefs, and theories that our humanity has. That's when something of the other shore can enter into you. You are the other shore, actually. And to miss that is a terrible plight in life. I watch people in crowds dancing around the issue of their low self-esteem. Women run around with their boobs hanging out and their tight pants, trying to entice men. Men are running around trying to show how wealthy they are, how powerful they are. Everybody wants to be sexy. Nobody wants compassion. Nobody sees it's about love. So people are dancing around these issues. It's inbred in us through our DNA to want to find a mate and have sex and make babies and tribes and all of that. So the woman is always very interested in what kind of man she can draw to herself. She wouldn't want a poor man. She wants at least a upper middle class kind of man. The man doesn't want anything less than a blonde or someone who's got big boobs or whatever. He wants something he can show around. He wants something to fulfill his fantasies. He isn't interested too much in the person. He just wants the fantasy fulfilled. You start to look at the way we dance around the issues of our own life, and you start to really realize what we've done to our life. We aren't really living to love, we are living to get. And as long as I do that well, and I think that my will, shall I say, is about fulfilling the beliefs I have about what I want and deserve and need, that's when I become ruthless. That's when I become ugly. That's when I become my pedestrian mentality. And nothing ever really changes from that. People do heinous things to themselves in this world. Then they do heinous things to others based on the passion and the emotion of what they believe is right and wrong, good and bad. We miss the whole thing. We miss the meaning of our life. There is no quote-unquote good belief. When I was being trained in the ministerial corps, it was all about training people to get what they want. They had to affirm and deny, and this exists, that doesn't. It was really ugly because when you get right down to it, it is like the Buddha said, it is desire and cravings that make our life so meaningless and create such hardships in our living. I can't take your cravings away from you, your desires, your beliefs. Yes, you should examine them. You should be able, if you're wise, to see how your beliefs will turn into what they turn into and how they manifest in this world. And if you understand how they manifest in this world and what they're really all about, then you will come to understand what your beliefs are about. And if you want to continue thinking they're good, you will. But if you're wise, you will see in the heart of wisdom, they ain't so good. And it is better to live from the, shall we say, the movement of love in you than the beliefs about love. I hope that helps. I'm sure it didn't, but I hope it helps give you another point of view. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, Will. Namaste. And the last question from Doris in Colorado. Greg, I listen to your radio programs, and I really try to understand you. I love your TV programs. I try to understand you. But my belief is so different. You say things that are so outrageous. I just want to be happy. You don't paint a very good picture of the world. Is this really what you believe in, Doris? Doris, I don't believe in anything. I know human nature. You know human nature. You can predict human nature. When you watch my TV programs and all of my efforts over my career, you see a man struggling to show you the way, show you the alternative of the way. Most people miss because their beliefs get in front of what I'm trying to teach you. They are the glasses you put on that allow you to ignore me. I'm not difficult to understand. Want nothing with all of your heart. As the Buddha said, want nothing with all of your heart, and then you will understand. There's a much bigger picture in our life than the ones we are experiencing. The ones that we believe in, the one we think is happening, there's a much bigger experience, but we're not going for it. Because it's more important for us to have what we want and how we want our life to be than to follow the way of our life, which is very beautiful. And it's quite an adventure, actually. What can I say to you? Yes, what I offer is different. It even seems odd to some people. To others, I've even been told it looks evil. Such is the way. There's no good deed goes unpunished in this lifetime. Don't you know that? And if you're not aware of that, then you haven't lived very well or very long or very observant. No good deed goes unpunished. So to seek the way within you is all I am offering you. I can't give you anything more. I give you methods and meditations and practices. I give you a lifestyle. I show you how that lifestyle works. It's all I can do. I can't make it any different for you. I can only say, practice, watch, listen. Live beyond the hierarchy of your beliefs, your propaganda, your own personal propaganda. Don't have belief systems. Drop them. It's all based and predicated on emotionality. And if you understand that, you get the idea. I'm just here as a slave to my emotions, telling me what I should and should not have and what I can and cannot do. And that's as far as people go. They just live in that. And living in that causes great sorrow and pain. Doris, be patient. Try to watch what I do. Listen to what I'm offering without your belief. It's like the ant hill, the sugar ant and the salt ant. Salt ant said to the sugar, I don't see what your hill is like. I don't understand it. So the sugar ant said, why don't you come up on my hill? and I'll show you. So the salt aunt put a few morsels of salt in her mouth and went over to the sugar hill. And the sugar aunt said, take a lick, take a bite, see what you think. She did. Said, I don't see much difference between your hill and mine, she said. The sugar aunt said, well, if you take some of that salt out of your mouth, you might see the difference. Maybe you would too. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Namaste.